When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Breaking news.
Michael Brunks.
This is the second time that breaking news has happened right when I come on the show. That's a good life lesson to be learned in all this. If you're going to give somebody over $100 million, make sure they're not weird.
Michael Brunks, Husker 24/7.
Michael Brunts of Husker 24/7 joins us now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
How are you today?
Not bad. What's going on?
We're just watching the Tigers as we do every single day.
Little Jack Leiter action. How's he looking?
He struck out the first guy on three pitches.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and he's got four runs of support already against Kenta Maeda.
Struck out another guy, too.
Start getting that Hall of Fame bust ready right now.
I know. Yeah. And Al Leiter was very happy sitting up in his suite wearing a suit.
That's good.
Yes, it is good for him. We love when fathers are happy for sons. Okay, Brunts, how was practice today? Did you learn anything? What did Matt Rhule say?
Well, Matt Rhule didn't talk.
Oh, that's right.
What he said. It was Tony White, Rob Dvorak today, and the takeaway from Tony White was that things were not good enough for the defense on the Saturday scrimmage last week. And we've heard from a couple people. I think Matt Rhule said it too, but he's really kind of pressing the assistants to up the level of everything, and that. The defense does not, get a free pass on that. So it's an interesting spring because they're going really light with Gifford and Hutmaker and Ty Robinson and those guys, the guys that they're going to count on in the fall. But, I think they want, they say they want the best defense in America, and at least Matt Rhule is trying to make sure that's the standard.
You know what's funny, Brunts? Usually, and so this is going to be the whole thing for them. They're going to want them to get more turnovers, and they need to get more turnovers. They forced 14 last year.
Uh-huh.
Usually, sacks and turnovers kind of go together.
They do.
Nebraska had a lot of sacks last year. I mean, they had 32 sacks, which is, mm-hmm. Rhule always talks about the 40 sacks and you win 10 games. Like, they got relatively close on the sack side, and they just didn't some of that is a little bit of an anomaly, even though Nebraska has not been a place where they have forced turnovers to a great extent for a long time. I would imagine if you just play that, play the defensive season through again, they end up with more just by virtue of the way the ball bounces a few times.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I know it's not a real statistical category, but it seems like the program as a whole has just had terrible fumble luck.
Yeah.
For quite a while.
They only recovered five fumbles last year on the defensive side.
Yeah. So, you would expect that it probably would find its level a little bit with a few more turnovers based off those sacks. I don't know. I mean, I do kind of wonder if, second year of a defense, if you just kind of naturally by, understanding the defense more, not having to think and probably fewer busts and things like that, if you just naturally come up with more turnovers, I don't know. But there was a little bit of pass rush conversation today. And I think they've got guys that, they're getting closer to having more guys who can just line up, beat the guy in front of them and get a sack and force a turnover. I mean, I feel like Jamari Butler can be that kind of guy.
Yeah.
James Williams, I think I was looking the other day. I think he played fewer than 70 snaps last year. It might have been even less, fewer than 60. But, you know, he's the kind of guy that you saw last year could just run around a tackle and get to the quarterback. And, you know, I think having those guys helps. I think being able to scheme things up helps.
Yeah, it did feel a little manufactured last year.
Yeah. Like, I think they won't have to manufacture nearly as much pressure-wise as maybe what they had to do last year, just based on some of the personnel they have back this year.
So Rhule's first year at Temple, his first year at head coach at Temple in 2013, they only forced 13 turnovers. And that was almost dead last in the country. That was 116th in the country in just, you know, turnovers forced, turnovers gained. In his second year at Temple, they forced 30, and that was top 15 in the country. That was 11th in the country in turnovers gained. Now that's a gigantic jump, obviously. At Baylor, the first year to second year jump, there was no jump. They had 11 in his first year at Baylor and only forced 10 in his second year at Baylor before the third year they ended up forcing 30. So there's 2 years there in his career where his defenses have forced 30 turnovers. Not expecting that kind of jump, but even if you go from like 14 to 20 and you tell the offense to not turn over the ball 31 times, then you're probably, there's a lot of wins just in those numbers right there, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what? Turnover margin, it's field position, it's basically complementary football is what you're trying to get to. And, yeah, I mean, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be exceptional on offense. I mean, I think what you're looking for is efficiency. And kind of baked into that efficiency piece of it is fewer turnovers.
Yeah, lack of disasters. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that stat to me is huge. The differential portion of it, because it's been 2016 was the last time Nebraska was in the plus column in turnover differential.
Yeah.
Turnover margin. So
as bad as they've been in that category, Brunts, turnover margin last year was by far the worst. You know, minus 17 last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, when you start thinking about how November played out for this team, I mean, you can see where you might have had a few wins in there if you would have just not turned the ball over or, you know, forced another turnover here or there.
It would certainly help. That's for sure. Let's move over to baseball, Brunts. What are you at the point of having a, like, almost pressing the panic button on Nebraska baseball? Or I guess, how do you, I kind of caution people. I tried to calm the waters, I guess, after Tuesday. But I felt as if I was a little bit on the island there.
Yeah, no, I think I would tend to join you on that island. I mean, I think over the course of a baseball season, most teams are going to have those stretches where things don't go well. You're not throwing as many strikes, or guys that you were counting on maybe are not performing as well as they had earlier in the season or will later in the season. I mean, I think that's a pretty natural thing. I mean, I think most coaches kind of expect that. And then the challenge is, how do you make sure that those swoons aren't, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you kind of limit it to just a few games if you can. And I think that's kind of where this team is right now. I mean, if you look at the numbers for April, since the calendar's flipped, the bullpen has taken a step back. I mean, they're walking more guys than they did in March. You know, they've allowed more runs. I think they have 4 losses now are on the bullpen's tab for the month of April, and I don't think they had any in February and March. So, that's kind of where they're at right now. You need something good to happen. And that was a little bit why I think that game against Creighton was as crushing as it was you didn't play particularly well. I mean, the offense only, you know, gave you 3 runs, on a night that was pretty primed to hit well. and you weren't able to get the job done. So I guess you see if they can do it against Maryland this weekend. Maryland's a kind of a scary team, though. I mean, I think they're a better team than maybe what their record shows and what they've shown in Big Ten play so far. So Nebraska's going to have to show up ready to play and hope that they can get things turned around here.
Hey, if you could boil down Nebraska's struggles against Creighton to a thing or two, what comes to mind first?
I don't know. I don't know that it's necessarily like it is an issue with Creighton, but I think,
or is it just midweek games? Yeah.
Midweeks overall. I mean, I think the issue the last couple of years is you just have not had the type of pitching depth, that's necessary sometimes to win those really tough midweeks. I think at times you've kind of had to rely on somebody to really kind of put together a Herculean effort. Thinking back to like a couple of Will Walsh starts where he goes 6 or 7 innings, that you weren't expecting. So I think that's part of it. Sometimes it's just, a hit here or a hit there. I mean, even the other night, Nebraska has the lead going into the ninth. It was a little bit tenuous, but, Kyle Perry gets, to 1-2 counts on the first two batters he faces. One guy hits one through the shift. Another guy just drops a single into right. And, that's just baseball. So
the thing that people kind of, I don't know, not to be the Creighton homer here, but like people fail to acknowledge that Creighton is good in these conversations a lot.
Correct.
Especially this year.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I mean, I think there's also guys that, in the past have, local guys that go to Creighton have performed really well in those games.
Yes.
Don't know if there's more juice because it's Nebraska, but.
Definitely.
I mean, like Hogan Calixto has to be hitting like 750 lifetime against Nebraska, it feels like.
Yeah.
But I mean, you just have those types of performances, or like, Malachi Vitoch, I guess I say his name.
Yep. You got
it. Thrown well against Nebraska, comparatively to other programs. So you just get those types of performances. I don't know why you're not getting them from Nebraska against Creighton, but, that's just kind of the way it goes sometimes. But, the midweek struggles, I mean, it's been tough against Creighton, but it's also been tough in other areas too. And I think a lot of that is just sometimes a reflection of your pitching depth.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I caution people, like, when it comes down, you got to win enough games to get to the point where you're in a regional, you're in an NCAA tournament situation, but those games are going to be decided by your best arms. And when you're playing on Tuesdays, they're not, that's just the truth of it. So
I think Nebraska is getting closer with pitching depth. Like they have a better depth of arms this year, but in the midweek, sometimes you're relying on guys that you don't usually rely on, and that can go well. And sometimes it doesn't.
Hey, sign me up for this, by the way. I said this yesterday out loud for the first time, but I'm sure of it. Nebraska, the 2 seed in the College Station regional. Are you ready? Are you ready to go to College Station in a couple months here?
That's where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, you have to play Texas A&M in the NCAA tournament. It's a rule.
I mean, with the way things are lining up right now, somebody's got to go to College Station as a 2 seed.
Yeah, they're going to be like the number 1 or 2 overall seed in the whole deal.
Yeah. Well, D1 baseball had them going to Paradise today, so we'll see how that goes.
That would be fun in Terre Haute, where. Yeah. Last year they couldn't. What was the deal with them? They couldn't host a super regional because there was like some other event in town and they didn't have enough hotel space or something like that.
Yeah, they were going to stick people in dorms or something like that.
Nice. Well, it's either Paradise, like you said, College Station, just because of the Texas A&M deal, or you could go to Old Faithful and just rip off another Stillwater appearance.
Stick them in Stillwater.
Yep.
Maybe
play it in Oklahoma City for old time's sake.
If I were lining up those 3, I think I'd go College Station, Paradise, Stillwater. The last time Nebraska played in Stillwater in an NCAA tournament, I ended up with 2 new tires and a new windshield and two unrelated incidents. So,
yikes.
If we can avoid Stillwater, I'd be okay with that.
And the last time they played Oklahoma State in a regional, that also you know, that was in Oklahoma City because of some weather that they had down there. And the guy hit the ball into the scoreboard.
Yep.
That was good.
Yep. Through it. He hit it through it.
Through it.
Through the scoreboard.
Yes. Okay, Brunts. So we look forward to whatever you come, you figure out with your plans for a regional site for Nebraska, if they make it. Talk to you later.
See ya. Thanks.
Michael Brunts, Husker 24/7. Yeah. Like I said, every day, I'll just mention it. College Station. Light them up. Texas A&M seems like one of the, probably the best team in the, like them in Arkansas
yeah.
are probably the two best teams in the country right now.
Jockeying for position.
Arkansas has won, I believe, 25 games in a row. Is this true?
Something like that, yeah.
It's something like that. Let me just pull them up real quick. So they got Coach Cal. They don't have a basketball roster, but they also haven't lost since March 20. Oh, no. Oh, no. They lost this weekend.
Oh, okay.
They lost twice to
Alabama
this past weekend. So never mind.
They are 27-1 at home.
That's okay. Maybe that's the one. 25 home games, something like that. By the way, one more thing before we take a break here. We mentioned Union Omaha earlier in their new stadium situation. How about this?
Oh yeah, this is cool. This is very cool.
So Union Omaha has beaten a couple MLS teams in the U.S. Open Cup over the last couple years.
Sure have.
They will get a home match this year in the U.S. Open Cup against Sporting Kansas City, who literally just went against Messi over the weekend.
That's right.
They're going to play them. They don't know where yet. But it's either going to be May 7th or May 8th, and that'll be in the U.S. Open Cup. Mm-hmm. So a little I-29 rivalry, Omaha-Kansas right. City there. That'll be fun.
Tickets not yet available. They'll make it very public when...
Definitely.
When you can get them, I'm sure.
Indeed. Quick timeout. We'll come back with more next on 1620 The Zone.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.